Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Health Radio with Melanie Cole.
In the U.S., 20 million women and 10 million men will suffer from some type of clinically significant eating disorder at some time in their life. You've heard of anorexia nervosa and bulimia and binge eating disorder. There are a whole bunch of these eating or disordered eating that goes on in this country right. You know, really, it's not always right out there. It's not always easy to spot. And we're going to talk about how these nine truths of disordered eating came about. And my guest today is Lauren Mulheim. She's a clinical psychologist in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mulheim. Tell us about the nine truths about eating disorders.
So in April, representatives of a number of the major U.S.-based eating disorder organizations met, and one topic that we discussed was the lack of a clear and consistent message about eating disorders, which is a field that is rife with a lot of myths and misinformation. So the group agreed to work together to create a consistent body of information for the public. It's based on Dr. Cynthia Bulick's Nine Eating Disorders Myths Busted, which was a talk she gave at the National Institute of Mental Health in 2014.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about some of these truths of eating disorders, because people don't always recognize them in themselves or in loved ones. So start with a few of them.
Okay, so the first truth is that many people with eating disorders look healthy, yet may be extremely ill. So I think the public often sees images of very emaciated people and assumes that, you know, that is what an eating disorder looks like. But the truth is that you can't tell by looking at someone whether they have an eating disorder. They come in all shapes and sizes, that people can be at normal or overweight and still get a diagnosis of atypical anorexia. Certainly binge eating disorder and bulimia can occur in normal and higher weight individuals. And the other part of that is that you can look healthy on the outside but still be at risk for a heart attack or other severe complications from the eating disorder.
Okay, so people blame themselves. I actually right now, Dr. Mulheim, have a sister who went through bariatric surgery twice. She had lap band over bypass, and now we realize that she is now bulimic. And it's because she's so terrified of gaining back the 200 pounds that she lost. And so families, some of us, my sisters and brothers and I, are blaming ourselves because we say we didn't keep enough close track on her. We all live very far away from each other, but still. And mm-hmm. And I'm blaming her doctor as well. And your number two is this blame thing. So that one kind of hit me because I am blaming her doctor. He should have noticed she looks like a skeleton by now. So
yeah,
is that wrong to blame?
Surgery is a whole other issue.
But she's bulimic because of the fear of putting that weight back on. So can I blame her doctor?
You know, I think people want to blame somebody, but we know eating disorders are really complicated illnesses with, both genetic and environmental factors. But back to the families, traditionally, you know, families were blamed for the development of eating disorders. And we know that families don't cause eating disorders, that there are many, many factors. Families don't cause eating disorders, and that there are many factors that lead to the development of an eating disorder. And by contrast, we know that families are can be a huge support in helping someone get well.
So an eating disorder diagnosis is a health crisis that disrupts personal and family functioning. How is that?
Well, eating disorders have the highest mortality rate of any mental illness, and it's estimated that about 5 to 20% of sufferers will die.
Really? Even higher than severe clinical depression or schizophrenia?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Interesting.
And they have lots of medical risks related to malnutrition.
Okay, so people tend to think, you know, if you just wanted to eat, you could. And I know that disordered eating can come from overeating, it can come from undereating or bulimia. But people tend to think, somewhat like alcoholism, that it's a choice, that, they, you know, just eat. You know, just eat a sandwich. You hear that all the time. So these are not choices.
Yes, that is one of the myths, that that it's a choice, that it's, you know, about vanity. But we know that they're much more than a desire to be thin. They're serious psychological illnesses.
What about genes and environment, the role that they play in the development of eating disorders? Where does that come in?
Well, we do know that that, you know, traditionally society has been blamed, whether it's the media, fashion models, or social media. But the truth is that eating disorders do run in families. They are heritable. Research is showing that between 50 and 80% of a person's risk of an eating disorder is due to genetic factors. At the same time, genes alone do not predict who will develop an eating disorder. So researchers like to say that genes load the gun and the environment pulls the trigger.
The environment, that's interesting, because I wonder how much role the environment really does play. We've blamed, since the 70s, Dr. Mulham, we've blamed, you know, eating disorders in teenage girls on the media and the depiction of models and stick thin models and all this stuff. And so how much do you really think is environment?
Well, again, it's more complicated. You know, I think the research is definitely pointing to the fact that there is a strong genetic predisposition. So someone has to have the right genes to develop an eating disorder. In other words, tons of people in our society diet, but not everyone who diets develops an eating disorder.
That's true. And that's an interesting way to put it. Now, recovery from an eating disorder, just as recovery from an addiction and intervention and the importance of them. So speak about recovery a little bit. How tough is it to recover from an eating disorder?
Recovery can be quite tough, but it is definitely possible. We do know that many people do get well. We have better treatments now than we did many years ago that improve outcome. People do recover at all ages, sometimes after very lengthy illnesses. In general, though, the sooner someone gets the treatment that they need, the better the chance of a good and full recovery. And we do know that weight restoration is critical to recovery in someone who is underweight.
And, you know, if somebody is underweight and it's too dangerous levels, you know, it gets to that point where it's dangerous levels, give your best advice in the last minute or so here for someone who has a loved one. And what do you say to that person to get them, you know, and I'm not only speaking for myself, because we just came right out to my sister and said, get help now, you know, or we'll be calling, and she said she did it, and we talked to the doctor and everything. So hopefully she's getting the help she needs. But not everybody can talk to their loved ones the way this big Jewish family I belong to can talk to. So give your best advice on how people can talk to their loved ones who they're scared for an eating disorder.
Well,
we only have a minute.
I think they should definitely express their concerns and encourage them to seek help. And the National Eating Disorder Association on their website has a lot of resources information about how to get help and how to talk to family members who you're concerned about.
The National Eating Disorder Association, do you know what the website is?
It's www.nationaleatingdisorders.org.
Yeah, so we'll put the link to that on our website. Thank you so much, Dr. Mulham, for being with us. Eating disorders are pretty serious, and as Dr. Mulham said, they cause more deaths than other types of mental illness. So it is pretty scary. If you have a loved one, get in touch with a professional. Seek help. Encourage them to seek help. I know about this. So, you know, you got to do it. It's not always easy, but it's definitely worth it for someone you love. Thanks for listening. This is Radio MD. Stay well.